ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 24 टेक्स्ट नंबर 6। उच्चावचेषु तेषु चरण वायुर अवीश्वरः चरण वायुर इवेश्वरः नोच्चावचत्वं भजते निर्गुणत्वाद्धियो गुणैः। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Like the air passing through different types of atmosphere, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing sometimes as a human being and sometimes as a lower animal, is always transcendental. Because He is above the material modes of nature, He is unaffected by higher and lower forms. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of the material nature. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Therefore, being the supreme controller of the laws of nature, the Lord cannot be under their influence. An example given in this regard is that although the wind blows through many places, the air is not affected by the qualities of these places. Although the air sometimes carries the odor of a filthy place, the air has nothing to do with such a place. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being all good and all auspicious, is never affected by the material qualities like an ordinary living entity. Purusha prakritisto hi bhungte prakriti jan gunan. When the living entity is the material nature, he is affected by its qualities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is not affected. Disrespectfully, one who does not know this considers the Supreme Personality of Godhead an ordinary living being. Avajananti ma mudaha. Param bhava vajanantaha. Such a conclusion is reached by the unintelligent because they are unaware of the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So, the series of verses that's being discussed, the temple, is about the Lord's divine incarnation as Matsya Avatar. And Shukdev Goswami is so merciful that he is setting a context. Very often, when we converse with people, especially when it comes to fault finding, we often don't set a context. But the Lord is so merciful that before any activity, before any event that takes place, any instruction that takes place, there is a context. Lord Krishna said the context of Bhagavad, of a battlefield to instruct to Arjuna. And Lord's devotee is also very merciful. He is setting a context before describing the Lord's divine incarnation as Matsya. Because one may misunderstand, oh, the Lord is just a fish. That's what some people think. Oh, he just came as different animals. But actually speaking, the Lord is completely transcendental and Shukdev Goswami wants to establish this. And in this particular verse, it's said that the Lord is above the material modes of nature. He is always transcendental. And the analogy is given here is of the air. The air may pass through different regions. Sometimes it passes through a foul region. Like our Gaurang Prabhu explains how, you know, when people travel in local trains, they often are able to sense the station simply by the smell. You know, you go through the Bandra region and you know. At least I know that station by the smell. So the air passes through the region and carries a smell. So the Lord, He is unaffected, just like the air is unaffected. The air carries the smell, but the air is not affected by the smell. Such a beautiful analogy. But the problem of the conditioned soul is that he thinks that the air has been affected by the odor. That is the problem. We think the air has been affected. And that's why we say foul air or fragrant air. The air is not fragrant, the air is not foul. It is the environment that is fragrant or foul. So this big misconception needs to be clarified from within the core of our heart, that the Lord is never affected by the modes of material nature. The Lord's instructions are never affected by the modes of material nature. The Lord's transcendental form is never affected by the modes of material nature. And I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees here so that I can imbibe this faith to a very small degree at least. Jayadutt Maharaj, he often comments that sometimes you find people who are very boldly smoking in front of everyone, especially in Germany. I was recently there, and you find women smoking around every corner. You'll find women smoking. So people are shameless when it comes to smoking, but when it comes to chanting, we become extremely shy, conservative. We want to restrict. We want to hide our bead bags, especially in the campus from where I'm coming. I don't even wear 3 rounds of Kanti Mala. I'm forced to wear 2 rounds of Kanti Mala. And just to put up a show in front of devotees, I'm wearing 3 rounds right now. So we are so scared to present Krishna consciousness to others. We are so scared. But Hridayanand Maharaj explains that intellectual theism is one thing, but philosophical theism, which is in our behavior, how we bring out our firm belief that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada once had his disciples, sannyasis, assembled. And he told them, even if one of you has faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I just need your help and we can make the entire world Krishna conscious. And he asked the disciples to raise their hands if they had that faith. And of course, you can understand also their humility and their honesty. They didn't raise their hands. But the point is, this is so important, having faith that Krishna is completely transcendental. If this were to be assumed by Shukadeva Goswami, we wouldn't be able to relish the divine incarnation of the Lord as a fish. I was reading an article in Reader's Digest that very often we evaluate something, we evaluate a philosophy by how others perceive it. And our faith in the philosophy is based on how others perceive it. So one man and his child, they wanted to participate in a pizza making competition. And the mother was away. So obviously, the father and son had a tough time. They had to make the pizza all by themselves. Phone was there and she was giving them some guidance. They made a good job, actually not a very good job. And they made the pizza. The idea was that at this competition venue, the pizzas were supposed to be auctioned. So they were to see who would buy pizzas for the highest price. And the higher the price for a pizza for which it was bought, the better the pizza. So this man and the boy, they made it, and it became a mess actually. Eventually the pizza looked like a mess, at least to that man. And he was thinking, let's not even make it to that competition. Let me get my car tire punctured, or let me just throw this pizza away. But then the son wanted, he was attached. So he thought, okay, let's go. So they went to that competition venue, and there he saw the kinds of pizzas that were arrayed. Amazing pizzas. Some were the shape of butterfly, some were the shape of parrots. Parrot, of course, you can't make a pizza size of shape of a parrot. But anyways, different beautiful attractive shapes. So then, when this man, he saw all this, he was feeling even more embarrassed, and he especially didn't want to embarrass his son. So he was hoping that somebody, while walking, would topple his pizza over, but nothing happened. And unfortunately, the time for auctioning came. And the first pizza, the butterfly pizza, 10 cents, 50 cents, 100 cents, $3, it went. Second pizza, another beautiful shape, $6 went. This man's heart was palpitating. What will happen to us? And finally, his son, his turn arrived, and the man closed his eyes, shut his ears. I don't know why he shut his ears, but he shut his ears. He didn't want to hear anything. And then the boy announced, he started, $5. And that pizza was a mess. In fact, this man overheard someone saying, it looks like a leprosy pizza. Pizza with leprosy. It had a name, after all. So, $5, $10, $18, unheard of. And finally, nobody raised his hand. And the son was so happy, he took $18 from his hand and paid it to the person in charge of the competition and said, I'm taking it. So son himself took it. So he was so proud to have made such a pizza because he saw this pizza as an emblem of love that the father and son had prepared together.
And the father, he was thinking, what was my perspective? My perspective was how people will perceive this pizza. But my son's perception was completely filled with love, with affection. He was seeing what efforts have gone into making this pizza. And the father, he relished the pizza like never before that same night. So similarly, we may speak the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but when we are faced with challenges, and especially when we are faced with the difficulty in applying the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, our faith may start wavering. But it's extremely important that we, from the core of our heart, have such implicit faith in the transcendental nature and form of the Lord, especially the transcendental nature of the Lord's holy name, that we don't give up the holy name at any point of life. We don't want to give up the holy name at any point of time, and that's possible only if we have faith that cannot be shaken. Now, the Lord is so merciful that in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he describes his transcendental nature. The fourth chapter is called Transcendental Knowledge. And the first few verses, so first nine verses, the Lord talks about his own transcendental form, activities. And in the second part of the fourth chapter, verse 10 onwards, the Lord talks about the living entity, the activities of the living entity, and how he can be connected with the transcendental Lord by his own transcendental process, by practicing the transcendental process of yoga, which is actually enunciated by the Lord himself in the first, as summarized in the first nine verses. So the first nine verses can be divided into two parts, at least that's how we will discuss today. So verses 1 to 3 of the fourth chapter, Krishna talks about his transcendental vani, his transcendental sound vibration. It starts with, Ibam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam. Vivasvan manave praha maru ikshvakave pravit. So he's saying that this transcendental science of yoga was first spoken by me to the sun god Vivasvan, who in turn gave it to Ikshvaku and then Manu. And then he said, Evam parampara praptam imam rajarsha yoviduhu sakaline hamata yoga nashta parantapa. And so evaya maya tedya yoga prokta puratanaha bhakto sime sakacheti rahasyam etam uttamam. So in these three verses, Krishna is talking about his transcendental vani, or the principles of dharma. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The transcendental science of dharma has actually spoken by the Lord. So this is the first aspect of the transcendental nature of the Lord, his vani, which includes all the principles of dharma. One German philosopher in the 18th century, Immanuel Kant, he says that two things fill me with awe: the starry heavens without and the moral laws within. Very interesting. The starry heavens without, which means the entire cosmic manifestation, and the moral laws within. That's also very amazing, how people have a sense of right and wrong. Just by perceiving the sense of right and wrong, somebody should be eager to inquire about the existence of a Supreme Lord, of Supreme Lord's instructions, some divine laws. I was reading this book, a very nice book given by Sachi Kumar Prabhu, called The Secret Life of Plants. Very amazing. And the author of this is, he's a detective. So this detective, he used to have this lie detector. I'm sure nobody has been subject here to a lie detector. But basically, the lie detector, it generates some electric impulses, and an LED light starts flashing if you're speaking a lie, by sensing how nervous you are. So what happened is, this person, he left his lie detecting machine unattended in a room, and that room was filled with plants. And somehow, in entered one person who was not a bad person, not a criminal, but he used to be harsh on plants. And just by the entrance of this person who used to be harsh on plants, immediately the lie detector started signaling some impulses. So the plants in that room were responding to a person who used to be harsh on plants. So even plants respond. That's his entire book, The Secret Life of Plants, how plants respond. So scientists are amazing. Plants respond, animals respond to love. What is this? So this is what Immanuel Kant says: the starry heavens without and the moral laws within.
So Krishna, in through his principles of dharma, through the instructions and through the details given in Srimad Bhagavatam, he's actually addressing both of them. When it comes to the starry heavens without, he's talking about cosmology, he's talking about how the child develops in the womb of the mother, perfectly explained. And the moral laws within, which is of a greater focus for devotees, because devotees really want to know how to align myself completely with the instructions, with the desire of the Lord. The starry heavens without are only in this material world. But actually speaking, the desire of the Lord is manifest not only in this world, but eternally in the spiritual world. So the Lord, through his Vani, he is conveying both. And especially the focus in Bhagavad Gita is about the eternal principles of dharma that a living entity should follow. And it's amazing that words have such power. What to speak of words that are emanating from the lotus lips of the Supreme Lord? And we all know that how our Ankit Prabhu's father today morning was discussing, he's Colonel Verma. He was discussing how in Kashmir, so many militants, so many of the youth are turning into militants, right? And it's because of Vani. It's because of speech. It's because of education. If you go to any of their madrasas, they would be just motivating you against the Indian government. And because of this, he was explaining that at least two generations are required to reverse this process back to making them, you know, favorable to India. So how powerful words can be. And we also know how so many of the freedom movements have taken place simply by the power of speech. So many Prerna lectures, I'm sure, have been given on this topic. Abraham Lincoln, he gave this Gettysburg address, where he inspired the Americans to continue giving the last full measure of devotion. We also know this very famous song. I used to sing this when I was a child. We shall overcome, we shall overcome, we shall overcome someday. And this inspired the civil rights movement. I wasn't very sure whether this is the original or Hum Honge Kamyab is original. There's some debate on that. But anyways, all these songs have inspired people. So what to speak when the Supreme Lord himself conveys message? How seriously we should take? It's only a matter of tuning our antennas to the transcendental divine sound vibrations of the Lord as he's speaking in Bhagavad Gita. I remember one senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada came home with his deities. And he kept the Radha Krishna deities on the altar. And then he had a small copy of Bhagavad Gita. And then he kept the small copy of Bhagavad Gita by the side of Radha Krishna and said, he spoke it. And I was very touched. So, did you understand? So this small gesture, he indicated that not only the Lord is transcendental, but he has spoken these transcendental words which are as worshipable. In fact, they are more important for us. Vani is more important for us. Purushottam Prabhu, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he was interviewing a music band called Beach Boys. And he was asking one of the members of that Beach Boys band, whose name was Carl. So he was asking him, you know, what do you think about drugs? And Carl said that, well, drugs initially helped me. And he still took drugs. But he acknowledged one point very nicely, which really struck me. And he said that, if I am at the ultimate state of realization, I know that drugs will not help me. The only thing that will help me is the Lord's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. It's a fact. Some people may take resort to 7 habits of highly effective people. Some people may take resort of how to develop your personality. But ultimately, when it comes to what will you be doing in your perfect state of realization, there is nothing other than the transcendental sound vibration of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada was once asked by someone, what will you do when you see Krishna? Prabhupada said, I'll see Krishna. Krishna will see me. And it's very difficult for Mumbaikars to digest this fact because they always want to keep moving. Always want to be on the move. There's a lot of vata dosh, right, Madan Gopal Prabhu? There's too much of vata dosh. But actually speaking, the pure transcendental soul is beyond it. And the Supreme Lord's potency is so mesmerizing. His flute is so beautiful. It's explained that when the Lord plays flute, he plays 8 kinds of tunes. And one of those tunes can melt stones. Another tune that he plays can make the water of River Jamuna flow backward. So that's how powerful the Lord's divine sound vibration is. Now, One question can be asked. Yes, the Lord has spoken the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, but he is not there right now to give this divine transcendental sound vibration. It is there in the books. It is there. Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully written Bhagavad Gita as it is. But still, how will I receive this and transform my heart? Because spiritual practice is not only information, it is also transformation. So how do we answer this question? So very often when we go for picnics, we play this game called telephone game. No? You, one person whispers a word in another person's ear. Have you experienced this? And the second person whispers a word in the third person's ear, and the message goes on. And by the time it comes to you, the message is completely distorted. Completely distorted. So with this kind of telephone system, isn't it that one will not get the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is? In fact, that was a point that Karl was making to Purushottam Prabhu in this interview. He was saying that the big problem is Bhagavad Gita is perfect, but I want to know what message is, whose translation, whose speaking is capable of transforming my heart. Right? And this is a question that everyone has, every nook and corner. Especially in Kali Yuga, dharma, bull, is somehow tottering on one leg, which is of truthfulness. But that leg is also shaking. I've generally seen people in Kali Yuga do not appreciate mercy. They don't appreciate someone being vegetarian. People do not appreciate someone not gambling. People appreciate if you're too much in the stock market. So, but there's only one thing that people appreciate. Still they appreciate. They may not follow. Haan, sach bolta hai. He always says truth. Ek bhi black money nahi leta hai. Right. So people appreciate that even now. But that leg is also tottering. That leg is also tottering. A group of boys were surrounding a dog. And the boys were having a heated discussion amongst themselves. So one pandit was passing that way. And he didn't like the dogs. He didn't like the boys arguing about that. He thought that they are trying to harm the dog. So he went and told one of the boys, why do you want to do any harm to the dog? The boy said, no, we don't want to do any harm to the dog. We are only discussing that who should take this dog as a pet. So we have there's only one dog, so many of us. And we decided that the boy who has never spoken a lie in his childhood should take the dog. Now this pandit said, what kind of discussion you are speaking? To talk about speaking a lie? Lying is such a bad habit. And he started giving a sermon on lying. How lying should be always avoided. And then very emphatically he said, that do you know, since my childhood I have never spoken a lie. And then there was pin drop silence. And this pandit thought that, okay, my message has gone into their hearts. They understood that I have never spoken a lie and lie should not be spoken. Then the youngest of those boys, after a small brief interval, he said, then let him take that dog. Because this youngest boy realized that this man is lying. When he says that he has never lied, he is lying. So in Kali Yuga, it's so difficult to expect someone to not pass the transcendental sound vibration as it is. But isn't it ridiculous to think that the Supreme Lord, who designed this universe so perfectly, the Supreme Lord who designed every atom so perfectly at the microcosmic and macrocosmic level, he designed everything so perfectly, doesn't he have the potency to create a system by which this sound vibration, the transcendental sound vibration, can be received without any adulteration? Is the Lord so incompetent? For whatever the Lord has created, the scientists are just trying to analyze. They are actually not inventing, they are only discovering. They are just trying to understand. And as many scientists very honestly admit that science is erroneous and self-correcting. And many research labs are simply associated with the self-correcting nature of science. It's a fact that there are Nobel Prizes in physics, in chemistry, in economics, and there's also a Nobel Peace Prize. But I often wonder that these two kinds of prizes, Nobel Prizes, they stand in contrast with each other. Because you get a Nobel Prize if you come up with a shattering theory.
Your theory has to shatter concepts that exist. It has to be completely revolutionary. I remember when I was in IBM research, I came up with some model, and it was definitely nice. It was appreciated. It was patented, published. But then my manager told me that unfortunately your technology is disruptive. They call it disruptive because it destroys the existing trend. But if your technology is extremely disruptive, you get a Nobel Prize. That's the idea. And on the other hand, you have a Nobel Peace Prize. So you have a Nobel Prize for pieces and a Nobel Prize for peace. But the Supreme Lord, he created this once. He has not been experimenting, playing dice with this creation. He created it once and it's running perfectly. So how can one think that that Supreme Lord will not create a system by which the transcendental sound vibration will go on without any adulteration? So when the Supreme Lord, he creates a system, he first gives a message, which he has spoken in Bhagavad Gita. Not only that, he also gives the power to perfectly understand that message. The Lord gives that power. And that is the process of chanting the holy name. That is a process of hearing. Shrinvata shraddhaya nityam, nityam ganatascha swacheshtitam kalena nati dhirgena bhagavan shate hridihi. By regularly giving oral reception to the transcendental message of the Lord, all the anarthas in the heart are purified. There's a beautiful another verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, punanti tat vishay vidushitashayam. All the dirt in the heart is washed when we keep hearing very attentively the transcendental divine instructions of the Lord. So Lord not only gives a message, it is not just like a mundane message in a mundane college. It has the power to transform the heart. And not only that, he also gives the power to perfectly pass on this message. So this is the transcendental system of the Lord. And that is so beautifully described by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. So Krishna Shilanam. We want to engage in activities favorable to the service of Krishna. But Anu, following the footsteps of catching the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee. In one purport in Srimad Bhagavatam, a very beautiful commentary is given that wherever the devotees of the Lord are, the Supreme Lord is attracted. The Supreme Lord says, Naam tishtame vaikunte yogi naam hrudayeshuva yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishtanti narada. So what happens is, wherever the devotee is going, the Lord is so attracted that he follows the devotee. But then, when the Lord follows the devotee, what happens is, Lord makes the footsteps left by the devotees even more auspicious. And therefore, when we follow a devotee of the Lord, we get the divine lotus feet, the divine dust of the lotus feet of the devotee, which are purified by the Lord, which are extremely purified by the Lord. You have some point? I found this beautiful purport in, I think, somewhere in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, Anushilanam is so powerful. Krishna himself says that those who say who are my devotees, they're not my devotees. But those who say they're the devotees of my devotees, they are actually my devotees. So Krishna Anushilanam. So Lord has created such a powerful system of transmitting the sound vibration that the sound vibration is powerful. But if you hear this sound vibration from devotees whose heart have been transformed by the Lord's sound vibration and who have been empowered to speak the sound vibration, we get even more nectar. And therefore, it's often said that the more you're a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, the more you're fortunate. Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he beautifully explains his identity to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Jagannath Vallabh Garden. He made so many attempts to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Every time he tried to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu internally accepted, but externally he displayed the standards of a strict sannyasi. But finally, when Maharaj Pratap Rudra, on the suggestion of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, dressed himself as a simple Vaishnava, went to Lord Chaitanya, who was taking rest, started massaging his feet and sang this beautiful song, Tava Katha Amritam Tapta Jeevanam Kavibiriditam Kalmashapaham. And then he went on, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhurida Jana, Bhurida, Bhurida. A devotee of the Lord is so magnanimous
that he is spreading the message of the Lord, so magnanimous, and Lord Chaitanya was in ecstasy. And then he asked, Maharaj Pratapadra, who are you? And how did the king introduce himself? He said, Raja kohe ami tomar dase ranu das, bhrityera bhrityakara yehi morash. This was his identity. That Raja kohe, he's a king, but he doesn't say I'm a king. This is told by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. Raja kohe ami tomar dase ranu das, I'm a servant of your servant. I am your eternal servant. He says, I'm an obedient servant of your servant. And not only that, my only desire is to be a servant of your servant. Not that I am a servant of your servant and I am looking forward to become a master of your master. No. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he was so happy. He was so happy. Actually, Lord Chaitanya knew the identity of this person who has come dressed as a Vaishnava. And he told, O King Pratapadra, I have come to Jagannath Puri only for three people. I have come to Jagannath Puri to meet you, to meet Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and to meet Ramananda Rai. So this is how powerful being a servant of the servant of the Lord is. You get the transcendental message of the Lord. Shuka Mukat Amrita Dravya Samyutam. The mango is very sweet. A ripe mango is extremely sweet. In Ratnagiri, there are such nice mangoes. And Madan Gopal Prabhu fed us so many mangoes in Ratnagiri. But when this mango is pricked by the beak of a parrot, it is even more sweet. So that is the perfect system that Lord Krishna has created. And we should take this system so seriously. It's so unfortunate that a fallen soul like me doesn't take it seriously. And Krishna can empower everyone to give us this transcendental vibration. One man, he was a rich man, businessman. And he was walking through the streets and he saw a girl with clothes completely torn. Had not eaten properly. Very weak, skinny. And this man passed through this girl. And when he reached home, he was served, of course, on a silver platter, servants around. And then, with a little bit of disgust, he said, Oh God, what kind of person are you? He said that, how can you let this happen? Why don't you do something to help this girl? Then suddenly he heard the message of the Lord in his heart. I did. I created you. Right? So the Lord can inspire anyone to become a divine messenger to give us transcendental knowledge. Once Janani was Prabhu, when he was in IIT, we asked him, how will this mission of ISKCON go on? And Janani was Prabhu said, the mission of ISKCON is in the hands of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, it will go on. He will make someone or the other an instrument. Trivikram Maharaj Ashila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, who will be the Acharya after you? Prabhupada said, an Acharya is not appointed. An Acharya emerges. So, by divine inspiration, by someone being completely empowered, we get such transcendental benefit. Such transcendental benefit. And we should be simply basking in that sun or floating in that nectar. That's how fortunate we are. So this is the first point. The Lord's transcendental sound vibration coming in the form of dharma. And with added, multiplied, exponentiated potency to transform our hearts. And not only that the Lord creates this potency in the message, the Lord also personally descends if there is a breakage in the lineage. So how can someone think that the principle of dharma is not in right hands? Krishna says, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. I personally come. He did that with Arjuna. Because Arjuna, the disciplic succession has broken, I am now instructing you. And not only that, the Supreme Lord instructs, personally descends to re-establish this connection. He also has his message for everyone. Our cryptic science or mathematics or economics or stock market analysis may be accessible for a few people. I never understand the stock market data. I don't understand economics at all. But there may be people who don't understand another branch of science. But Lord Krishna is so merciful that he has created a transcendental system which is actually accessible to anyone. So this is how transcendental the Lord's Vani is, the form of dharma. In the next few verses, he talks about his transcendental form and activities. And the verse starts with, Bahudi me vyaditani janmani tava charjuna. Tanaham veda sarvani natvam veda parantapa. And he said, oh, Arjuna, I and you both have taken many, many births. So Arjuna is thinking, aparo bhavatam janma, param janma vivasvatah. Oh, Lord, I mean, many, many ages have passed since Vivasvan was born. How do you remember? I don't remember. Lord said, no. You have taken many births. I have taken many births. You don't remember, but I remember. So this is Lord's transcendental form. And that's where he starts. So beautifully he builds up to the topic of his transcendental form. The problem with us is we have such limited knowledge. And with our limited knowledge, we try to assess the transcendental form of the Lord. Arjuna was simply an instrument in the hands of Krishna to illustrate this point to all of us. How much in ignorance we are. Even the scientists admit. I'll give you a very simple example. Extremely simple example. Suppose you were kidnapped by a madman who escaped from the best possible mental asylum in Bombay. He escapes. He kidnaps you. And then he says, I will release you only if here are two packs of cards. From each pack of cards, you pick one ace, and if you get a spade of ace, I didn't know much about cards, but I learned this. If you pick a spade of ace from each pack, only then you'll be released. So you know, from each pack, there are 52 possible cards, and if you pick an ace from each of spades, the chances are very less. Chances are one divided by almost 2500, which is very less. And suppose this man picks two cards, and he finds, wow, both are spade ace. And this man thinks, this is a miracle. I'm lucky. Or I did some magic. But later on, he inquires from the card manufacturer, and the card manufacturer says, oh dear, we forgot to mention that of every 10 packs of cards that we manufacture, one pack has only ace spade. Completely filled with ace spade. Immediately, this man's belief changes. Right? So this mathematics, this is called Bayesian inference. The mathematics called Bayes. The more information you have, the more your analysis changes. And because our information keeps changing all the time, our conclusions keep changing all the time. We forget. Prabhupada says our biggest problem is that we forget. And that's sometimes a benediction. Like Gaurang Prabhu says that sometimes you speak Harikatha and everyone relishes. Speak the same Harikatha, 2 years later they relish. Because you forget. The transcendental message is nectarian. But at the same time, there's a tendency to forget. An atheist, he went out boating. So he went out fishing. And while fishing, he was in a boat. Suddenly a three-headed monster emerged from the water. And the three-headed monster completely toppled the boat along with his atheist. And his atheist went up flying. And he was about to enter one of the mouths of the three-headed monster, the boat, the other mouth, and probably the oar, the third mouth. And they were all falling back into the water, the water inside this monster's mouth. And suddenly he cried out, oh God, please save me. And then the scene froze. The man was upside down, the boat was upside down, the monster was waiting. And this man was surprised. And then God asked this man, I thought you were an atheist. How come you prayed for me? I thought you didn't believe in me. The man said, yes, I didn't believe in you, but 5 minutes back, I did not even believe in three-headed monsters. So our beliefs change according to the situation. That's our problem. But the Supreme Lord, he says that I, Tanaham Veda Sarvani, I remember all the birds. And therefore, whatever the Lord says is in our best interest. There's a beautiful book that I came across by Francis Collins. Francis Collins happens to be, he got several awards. He's actually one of the pioneers of the Human Genome Project. So Francis Collins, he wrote a book, The Language of God. Actually, it was inspired by a particular incident. When the Human Genome Project, the first year, its anniversary was being marked, that Bill Clinton was asked to be the chief guest. And Bill Clinton said, today, we will reveal to the whole world the language of God. So what he meant was the gene sequences, the intricate order in which they align themselves to so-called create life or give intelligence. It is actually the language of God. So Francis Collins wrote a nice book called The Language of God. In that book, he writes that his own daughter, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said this. He talks first about a girl who was unfortunately molested. A man barged into her room in the night and she was molested. And then few paragraphs down, with tears in his eyes, he says that, unfortunately, that daughter, that girl was my daughter. Now, you might ask, how could he write a book, The Language of God, when his own daughter was subject to such tyranny? How? How is he able to digest such an incident? So he makes a very nice point. He says that the Lord needs a megaphone to arouse a deaf world. You need a megaphone, you need a microphone, you need a megaphone to arouse a deaf world. So God whispers to us in pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. And through this incident, I understood my daughter went through such trouble, but God was shouting in my pain to help me realize that I am so insignificant. I thought I was her guardian, but look at me. What kind of guardian am I? What kind of a father am I? So I, not only am I helpless, but in this situation, I can do the best I can to take shelter of the Lord. So it's a beautiful book. I strongly urge devotees who are preachers to have a look at the book. It's called The Language of God. So it's a fact. There is a another statement he makes in his book that all knowledge is conditioned. All the knowledge we have is conditioned. What we learn from experience is what philosophy we bring to life through our experience. People say, you should learn from experience, right? Especially many young boys are said, you experience life enough, then you chant Hare Krishna. Experience life. But the problem is, what we actually learn through our experience is only what philosophy at the back of our mind do we bring to the fore or bring to life through our experience. Therefore, Shastra Chakshu is so important, because we want to bring the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to life through our experience. We can become a complete atheist when we go through a tribulation that Francis Collins went through. But we can also get closer to God, like Kunti Maharani did. We can get closer to God. So it's so important to hear this message and have it at the back of our mind, because it's this philosophy that will come to life through our experiences. And Krishna is so merciful that he not only talks about why he is completely transcendental, he not only talks about his transcendental nature, not only he says why he is transcendental, he is achyuta. Achyuta means infallible. Prabhupada makes a nice point in this purport, saying that the Lord never forgets himself. Sometimes when we act in a drama, we forget our original role. Sometimes when we are in a group with a group of people in our area, we forget our home. Sometimes we even forget our sadhana. We can get so carried away in a particular discussion. Just imagine, the Lord descends into this material world, but he is not at all affected, because he's achyuta. That's the word, achyuta. He's infallible. And why does the Lord never forget? Because he has always a transcendental form. And Lord Brahma so mercifully describes to us the transcendental form of the Lord. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. That he has a body made of Sat. His body is Sat, is eternal. Chit is fully conscious. There is nothing outside the Lord. There is no difference between inside and outside of the Lord. And Ananda, complete bliss. The Lord is always smiling. It's a beautiful series of verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2nd Canto, 8th chapter, where the beautiful form of the Lord is described. And I found it so amazing. Just give a few moments to think about it. This form of the Lord that is described is in all of our hearts. I'll just read out the verse. Shukadeva Goswami, after describing the universal form of the Lord, he says, Kechit Swadehanta Hidaya Vakashe Pradesha Matram Purusham Vasantam Chaturbujam Kancha Rathanga Shankhe Gadadharam Dharanayas Baranti. The Supreme Lord is residing in the region of the heart, and is the size of a thumb sometimes, and size of 8 inches at other times is described. So his exact size is also described. He has 4 hands carrying a lotus, a wheel of a chariot, a conch shell, and a club respectively. The Lord is situated in each and every one of our hearts. And then it's explained, what is the Lord doing? Prasanna Vaktram Nalinaya Tekshanam Kadamba Kinjal Kapishanga Vasasam Lasan Maharatna Hiranmayangadam Spuran Maharatna Kirita Kundalam. His mouth expresses his happiness. The Lord is situated in our heart and he is happy.
But we become so morose because we forget that happy Lord. His mouth expresses his happiness. His eyes spread like the petals of a lotus. His garments, yellowish like saffron of a kadamba flower, are bedecked with valuable jewels. His ornaments are all made of gold, set with jewels, and he wears a glowing headdress and earrings. People go all around digging gold, finding gold in banks, but the Lord is wearing gold in everyone's heart. Just imagine how wealthy we'll become if we simply become conscious of the Lord who is sitting in our heart, adorned with all the most precious ornaments, not only in entire creation, even beyond creation. And that Lord is smiling. He's smiling. He's ananda, completely blissful. And then he goes on. His lotus feet are placed over the whorls of a lotus-like hearts of great mystics. On his chest is the Kaustubha jewel, engraved with a beautiful calf. And there are other jewels on his shoulders. His complete torso is garlanded with fresh flowers. So Prabhupada says we should, in a purport, he says that we should respect each and every living entity because the Lord is situated in each and every living entity's heart. Each and every living entity has a connection with the Lord, and the Lord is actually situated even within this body that we have. Though he is completely uncontaminated, so fortunate we are. So fortunate we are that the Lord is accompanying us all the time. And he is smiling. He is not morose. It's not that when we get morose, we fail in exams, the Lord becomes morose and helpless. In fact, the Lord is a source of all shelter. How can he become helpless? So in this way, Shukadeva Goswami describes a beautiful transcendental form of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada, he's so merciful that this process of worshipping the transcendental form of the Lord, he established in all our temples. It's a great fortune. For those of you who have read Satsurup Maharaj in a Back to God, article in a Back to Godhead magazine, he writes how initially Jagannath Baldev and Subhadra deities were found by Malati Mataji in a store in San Francisco. And when this message reached Satsuru Maharaj was in New York at that time. Initially, he had some resentment in heart because he thought that Prabhupada is giving so much to the San Francisco people. And he in fact, very humbly admits that maybe I was envious of them. And he was wondering, why should I worship Jagannath? What's so special about this form of Jagannath worships? And Prabhupada actually wanted everyone to worship Jagannath deities. Prabhupada said, why don't you worship Jagannath deities? And then Satsuru Maharaj, he writes, he was waiting for Prabhupada to come. Prabhupada said, offer flowers. He started doing that. But he was not very sure how to feel the transcendental form of the Lord, his transcendental presence. And then he explains, Prabhupada, when he came to New York, he gave him a beautiful prayer to offer to Lord Jagannath. Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatume. We are so much bombarded by material illusions. We are bombarded by so many misconceptions all the time. And the biggest bombardment is from the rascal mind within. It's just bombarding us. And because of that, we are blinded. Our eyes are covered. But Jagannath Swami, O Lord Jagannath, please, please be visible to me. Please be merciful to me and let me behold your beautiful form. And Satsuru Maharaj said that the translation of Srila Prabhupada was more important for him than the verse itself. And he just made it a practice to chant this in front of the deities. In New York, a devotee couple started producing small deities of Jagannath, put Jagannath in a case, and behind Jagannath deity, they would write this, Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatume. And all devotees would wear this small Jagannath deity with this verse around their neck. So there was a three inch around their neck. And then later on, when Satsuru Maharaj moved to Boston, he was worshipping Jagannath deities, 6-inch deities at the temple. When Satsuru Maharaj came from Boston back to New York to meet Srila Prabhupada once, and Prabhupada asked, what did you do with the 6-inch deities of Jagannath? He said, I put them in a closet. They're closed inside. Prabhupada said, will you do that to me also? If you're going somewhere, you'll lock me in a room and go away. No, you should give such nice worship. So Satsuru Maharaj writes that this episode with Srila Prabhupada, especially with respect to Lord Jagannath, increases attraction for Lord Jagannath and increase his vision of the divine transcendental form of the Lord. And he points out a very beautiful verse from a purport from the Ishopanishad, where Prabhupada makes it very clear how the Lord can manifest personally to each and every devotee in the form of the holy name and in the form of the deity. So this is a beautiful verse. Tat ejati tan naijati tad dure tadvantike tad antarasya sarvasya tadu bahayasya sarvasya bahayataha. So
The Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, yet he is outside of everything. And Prabhupada writes an amazing purport to this verse. And in this verse, in the purport of this verse, he talks about two aspects of the Lord. The technique by which the Lord appears in his transcendental vigraha, forms of Radha Gopinath. And he talks about why the Lord appears in that form. So first, he says, the technique, even if the Lord appears before us in the form of material energy, it is quite possible for him to convert this energy into spiritual energy. Since the source of the energies is one and the same, the energies can be utilized according to the will of their source. For example, the Lord can appear in the form of the Archavigraha, a deity supposedly made of earth, stone or wood. Deity forms, although engraved from wood, stone or other matter, are not idols as the iconoclasts contend. So Prabhupada says, the Lord is a storehouse, a source of all energy. So why can't he transform matter into spirit? Why isn't it possible that if you have electric source, if you have the electric current in hand, you can transform into electric light, you can convert it to fan. And the Lord can do that. He has that potency. One of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, he went with his five-year-old son to a Protestant church. And at the church, the son, son used to always visit ISKCON temples. That's the fortune of being born as a devotee child. Like Raghunath, the son of our dear Anandan Prabhu, he's so attached to deities. From childhood, he's been brought up in deity culture. So this five-year-old boy, he has never seen a temple without deities. So he goes to the Protestant church and he finds this platform empty. And he's amazed. And he asks his father, Father, why are there no deities on that platform? The father is wondering what to answer. But before he answers, the son says, I know, Father, because you are not very advanced. Because the son had heard that Prabhupada, in many temples, he told the devotees not to worship deities. Because the temple didn't have good standards. The temple didn't have a wonderful brahmachari ashram like we have here. And therefore, they don't worship deities. So the son immediately related. This is how it's so natural if we have the philosophy of Krishna consciousness tightly ingrained. But unfortunately, we are brought up in such a demoniac culture and bombarded all the time. Swavit varaha ushtakharai, all kinds of nonsense philosophies being taught, and we being eulogized for speaking nonsense philosophies. So this is the technique by which the Lord appears. I remember a long time back in IIT, Gaurang Prabhu wanted to introduce a worship of Radha Krishna deities. You were there? And we had a discussion, whether we should or not. I had little reservation. So finally, when there was no unanimous decision, so this matter was taken to Radhanath Maharaj. And Maharaj said, no, let them just worship Gaur Nithai. So you cannot worship the transcendental form of the Lord if you don't have the right standards. Because unless you have the right standards, you won't appreciate the transcendental nature of the Lord. If you're not making offerings to the Lord, how will you appreciate his transcendental nature? There are so many deities, historical evidences to the transcendental nature of the Lord, and especially his reciprocation with his devotees. Sakshi Gopal, who walked from Mathura to Vidyanagar. Kheerchor Gopinath, who stole kheer for his beloved devotee Madhavendra Puri. Alarna devotee, some hot kheer was spilled on his body when the pujari was a little agnostic. The pujari, he was disturbed when the son's offerings were actually being accepted by the Lord. So he immediately spilled the kheer, and the kheer spilled over the Lord's body, and still the mark is there on the Lord's body. So Lord can transcendentally reciprocate unless we have that faith. So Prabhupada says, next point, he first talks about the technique by which the Lord appears. Second is why the Lord appears. He says, in our present state of imperfect material existence, we cannot see the Supreme Lord due to imperfect vision. Yet those devotees who want to see him by means of material vision are favored by the Lord, who appears in a so-called material form to accept his devotee's service. So Lord appears in a so-called material form to accept his devotee's service. Even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, 8th chapter, Prabhupada says, Shudeva Goswami says, how we should have darshan of the Lord. That we should start with the lotus feet of the Lord. What is that verse? Yeah. Ekaika shongani dhyanu bhavayet padari yavat dhasitam gadabrata jitam jitam sthanam apoya dharayet param param shuddha dhi yata yatha. The process of meditation should begin from the lotus feet of the Lord and progress to his smiling face. The meditation should be concentrated upon the lotus feet, then the calves, then the thighs, and in this way, higher and higher. The more the mind becomes fixed upon the different parts of the limbs, one after another, the more the intelligence becomes purified. And Prabhupada in the purports, he especially talks about meditation on the lotus feet. And Prabhupada translates this meditation to actually serving the Lord. Prabhupada says that it is better to practice concentration, concentrating our attention by offering flowers and tulsi to the lotus feet of the Lord. In this way, by offering services, we gradually become purified by the archana process. We dress the Lord, bathe him, etc. And all these transcendental activities help us purify our existence. So this completely complements what Srila Prabhupada is speaking in the purport to Isha Upanishad. That the Lord has appeared simply to accept service. And by rendering service, we may start gradually appreciating the most transcendental form of the Lord. So I seek all of your blessings that whatever little was discussed, I'm able to incorporate in my own consciousness. Really appreciating the transcendental form of the Lord. Because if I had faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even for a moment, my life would be different. So to summarize, we discussed how important it is for us to understand the transcendental nature of the Lord, that He is completely unaffected. And we should not be simply influenced by what others think. We should study the philosophy, hear from devotees, practice the process of devotional service so intensely that in every cell of our body, the holy name of the Lord is vibrating. That should be our aspiration. Even if we are woken up in the middle of our sleep, we should be able to remember the holy names of Krishna. We should be able to chant the names of Krishna. One devotee, he came to one of our senior disciples and he said that, Prabhuji, anarth ho gaya. What happened? Prabhuji, I was about to die in a car accident. That's good, but you're saved, right? But this devotee said, but Prabhuji, that is not the misfortune. The misfortune is that I was about to die in that car accident, but I didn't remember the Supreme Lord at that time. That is my misfortune. So if we can incorporate a fraction of this consciousness in everyday life, we can be so much blessed. And then we discussed how the Supreme Lord, in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, through a series of verses 1 to 9, he describes both his transcendental Vani and his transcendental Vapu. In verses 1 to 4, he talks about his transcendental Vani and how he gives not only there is potency in his Vani to Viplava, Tadva Visargo Janataga Viplava, can create a revolution. But not only that, he also gives a potency in his devotees to create that revolution. Not just the potency, multiplied potency. The Lord is so happy when His devotees are honored. He was complaining to Shrutadeva and Mithila that you have worshipped me, but I wanted you to worship my devotees who have come with me more than me. That was his complaint. That's how empowered the Lord's devotees can be. And then we discussed that even though the Lord can give the message, transcendental message, He gives the potency to understand the message, and He gives the potency to transmit that message, He also personally descends if there is a breakage. And also the message of the Lord is for everyone. And then about the transcendental Vapu of the Lord, we discussed how He is completely achyuta, infallible. And therefore He never forgets, even though we may forget. Based on whatever knowledge we have, our concepts in life can keep changing. But the Lord's concepts don't change. And therefore following His instructions is most important. The achintya nature of the Lord was also discussed from several verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. How the Lord is not only unaffected, but He is a source of all happiness. And simply by being connected to the Lord through this most beautiful process of chanting of the holy name and worshipping of the deities, we can more and more appreciate His transcendental nature. And the bottom line is service. The bottom line is that we somehow or the other render service unto the lotus feet of the Lord and to the lotus feet of His devotees. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? So if there are no questions, thank you very much for tolerating me. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.